Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches, the second line from the top, begins with a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source, as you can see, is featured in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our marking system. The topic that we are going to encounter is also featured by a topic heading that you find in the margin, the Nosei. Here, the Nosei is Hikohu Asorah B'nei Adam. 10 people beat upon somebody, Umeis, and eventually the victim died. Mi Chayav, who is guilty? The Brisa begins. Tan Rabbanan Hikuhu Asorah B'nei Adam Ba'asorah Maklos Umeis. 10 people beat someone with 10 sticks and the victim died. Bein B'basachas, whether they pummeled him at one time, Bein Bozeh Acharzeh, or whether it be one after the other. Pturin, they are exempt. Rabbi Yudah Ben Beseira Omer Bozeh Acharzeh, if they did it one after the other, Ha'achroin Chayov, the last one will bear the guilt and be penalized by execution. Mipnei Shekirev Es Misasa, because he drew the victim's death closer. You'll notice with the markings we've dashed underlined the expression Bozeh Acharzeh. This is the point of controversy between the two opinions. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneya Mikra Echod Dorshu, the two Tanaic opinions, the Tanakama, the first opinion, the Aleph opinion, and the opinion of Rabbi Yudah Ben Becerra that we featured in our markings in the source as the Bey's opinion, both Darshan, both expound upon the same Posuk. The Posuk says, Ve'ish Asher Yakeh Kol Nefesh Adam. The Posuk describing someone being beaten. Rabbonon Savri, Kol Nefesh, the expression in the Pasuk that said Kol Nefesh means Ad De'ika Kol Nefesh. In other words, there is no death penalty for murder until the murderer is responsible for the entire life that has been taken, and not partially responsible. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Savar, Kol Nefesh equals Kol Dehu Nefesh. Even a small aspect of it, if he is responsible for the taking of it. Hence, if he's the last one, the one that brought the death just a bit closer, he can be held responsible. Omar Rava, Hakol Moedim. Notice we have a double underline. This is to emphasize the difference between stage, this initial stage, and the next line. You see Lo Nechliku Ella also featured with the double underline. The point being that there is a circumstance that everyone agrees upon, and the following circumstance afterwards, which will be a point of controversy. So Rava points out, Hakol Moedim Behoirig Es HaTrefa Shehu Potter. If the victim happened to be classified as a trefa, for example, he has a hole in a vital organ, a hole in his esophagus, as Rashi cites as an example, and this person was murdered. The murderer is not responsible on a capital level offense. As such, if someone killed a person who was already a trefa, he would not be subject to the death penalty. That's point Aleph. Point Beis, that also is subject to this, all agree. Begoyseis bidei shamayim. If someone is deathly ill as a result of heaven, meaning no action was done to a particular person, he just fell sick, and is in a state of gesisa. He's deathly ill. And someone came along and finished him off. Everyone will agree, shehu chayav, that the one who came to finish him off is guilty of murder. Rashi points out across from here, everyone agrees that he's guilty. No action was done to him prior to the arrival of this particular murderer. And as a result of that, he is viewed as alive. Continuing in the Gemara, loy nechliku elo, the controversy that we have seen will be only under the following circumstances. Begoises bidei odom. If a person had been deathly ill as a result of human intervention, the example cited here by Rashi is a person who, like we saw above, was beaten by a number of people, and as a result of their beating him, he became deathly ill. He's called Goises bidei odom. On this kind of situation, we'll have the machlokes. Mar medami leila trefa. The opinion that holds that there is innocence will compare him to a trefa. Umar medami lei legoises bidei shemayim. The opinion that holds he is guilty will parallel the goises bidei odom to the goises bidei shemayim. Man de medami leila trefa, the one who exempts the killing of the goises bidei adam, because he compares him to a trefa. My time alo medami leila goises bidei shemayim. Why does he not compare the goises bidei adam to goises bidei shemayim? Answer: goises bidei shemayim lo is avid beimaisa. That kind of person, no action had been done to him. Hi, the goises bidei adam is avid beimaisa. Something was already done to him beforehand. Hence, when I come along and finish him off, so I'm not going to be held guilty. Uman de medami lei legoises bidei shemayim. The one who holds that there is guilt for he who kills the goises bidei adam and compares him to the goises bidei shemayim. My time alo medami lei letrefa. Why not compare him to the trefa? Answer: trefa mechatchi simonim. The trefa, his vital organs are cut or pierced. Ho, the goises bidei adam lo mechatchi simonim. He doesn't have that particular lacking or imperfection. Hence, one who comes and kills him, he is considered as having done a major maisa to him, and as a result of that, will be considered chayev, as opposed to one who would kill a trefa. Toni Tano Kamei de Rav Sheshes. A Tanaic source was taught in the presence of Rav Sheshes, V'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam. Lahavi hamake es chaveroi. And we notice a bracket, so if we skip this initially, yesh bo kidei lahamis, the pasuk is describing a case of someone that came and hit someone, and the impact was a powerful one. It had enough force to kill. Ubo acher vehemisoi, and someone else came along and finished him off. Shehu chayov. The pasuk would be telling me that the last guy is guilty, even though the first person created an impact that was sufficient to kill. Let's go over the source now with the bracketed section read in. The reason we skipped the bracketed section is explained in our note in the margin where you find the asterisk, indicating haloshon betoch hasogayim boi tikun. The expression in the brackets requires correction. So if we reread this, the pasuk said v'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam lohavi hamake es chaveroi v'ein boi kedei lohomis. this would include a case of someone who hits someone, and the impact is of a minor consequence. In other words, it doesn't have enough force to kill. Ubo acher v'mi. So when someone else came along and finished him off, shehu chayov. The latter guy, the second one, is guilty. So to this, the Gemara interjects, ein boy kedei lahamis. If there is not enough force to kill, then that is what was done by the first fellow, pshita. That's obvious that he would be exempt, and only the latter guy chayev. Elo, the chidush is as follows, and this is what it should have said: yesh boy kedei lahamis. If there was enough force in the first one's impact to kill, ubo acher v'mi. So when someone else came along and killed him and finished him off, shehu chayev. The latter guy is guilty. Ustamo, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. This unnamed source, Stamo is an unnamed source, reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who said in a similar case that even though someone was deathly ill as a result of being hit or pummeled by others, the last guy to do the hitting, who finished him off, he is the one that bears the guilt. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice more geometric forms. We notice the diamonds appear. These diamonds are have a shaded-in tip to them. This is, of course, to distinguish these diamonds from a previous use of diamonds in the same area. On the previous omid, we also had diamonds. So this distinguishes them. And the Nosei Mivneh, the topic heading and structural note that accompanies this section of Gemara, indicates the diamond are dinim shel rava, teachings, laws of rava, hakshurim letrefa, that are related to the situation of trefa, rubam beinyan odom trefa. Most of the teachings here are in the context of a person who is a trefa. We will see later on the fourth halacha of Rava concerns an animal that is a trefa. We mentioned trefa a moment before, something that has an imperfection in a vital organ, such as a hole or a slit. Omar Rava, hahoireg es hatrefa poter. Someone who kills a person who is already a trefa, the one who kills him is Potter, is exempt from a capital punishment. Utrefa shaharag, if someone himself who was a trefa killed. So it depends. Number one, bifnei bezdin chayov. If he did the killing in the presence of the court, then there is guilt. Number two, shaloi bifnei bezdin potter. If he killed, but not in the presence of bezdin, then Bezin would not be able to act upon this case, as the Gemara will explain, and hence the trefa will be exempt from capital punishment. Now, the Gemara explains, and we've written in Hezber, indicating that that's what the role of the coming Gemara is. Notice we've underlined Bifnei Bezin and called this number one, and a couple lines later, you see at the beginning of line also underlined Shelo Bifnei Bezin, that's number two. Bifnei Bezin, Chayov. If the murder done by the trefa took place in front of Bezin, he is guilty of capital punishment, dichtiv. The pasuk says, ubi'arto hara mikirbecha, that one must get rid of the evil from our midst. And since Bezin saw it, it's upon them to act. Number two, shalobifnei beisdin potter. There, if the trefa killed not in the presence of beisdin, so there is exemption from capital punishment. And why is that? The haviyolo edus shi ato yochol hazima. The court, in order to act, would require witnesses to testify. The nature of this testimony is such that you could not carry out on the witnesses. The principle of kasher zomam. That principle says that in the event that witnesses testify about a particular event, and they are found to be lying in a specific form of having been in another place at the same time, and hence could not have testified, they receive what they were trying to do to the defendant. What were they trying to do? So in your average murder case, they were trying to condemn as a murderer the defendant, someone who was not going to die otherwise, except for their false testimony. How about a case where they were testifying about a person who was a treifa? Assuming, of course, that the witnesses are healthy, what were they trying to do? They were trying to kill someone who was already considered dead, so to speak. The treifa, being someone with a hole in a vital organ, is someone that is assumed that will not live too much longer anyway. So they were trying to kill a person who is already considered dead, in a manner of speaking. How could you then kill them in the event that they lie? Because they were healthy people. They're healthy witnesses. Hence, we cannot carry out what they were trying to do to him should be done to them. The Gemara explains, V'chol edus shi'ato chol azima, any testimony that you cannot carry out on them what they were trying to do to the defendant, lo shmo edus, is not considered testimony. V'omar rova, horoivea es hatrefa, one who has forbidden relations with a trefa, with a person that's a trefa, this is Mishkav Zohar, homosexual relations, Chayav, he is guilty. This is a capital offense. Trefa Sharava, a person himself who was a trefa, who conducted the Mishkav Zohar with someone else, Bifnei Basin, if this was done in the presence of Basin, Chayav, so the trefa is to be executed. Shelo bifnei bezin poter. If, however, the trefa did conduct the homosexual relations not in the presence of Beis Din, and hence in order for Beis Din to act, you would have to have testimony, this case would not end with a capital punishment. Poter. Why? Bifnei Beis Din chayav. We said that if done in the presence of Beis Din, they can act and execute him. The pasuk says, thou shalt eliminate the evil from your midst. And based in having seen it, they would not require anything further, and they could act. Shelo bifnei bezin poter, if the act was done not in their presence, the trefa would not be subject to a capital punishment. The Havilah, this once again, is, as we explained before, is an example of Edu Shi'atoi Cholazima. The testimony here would be a type of testimony that we could not carry out the Kasher Zoman principle on the witnesses, and therefore it doesn't get started. The case won't even get started. The Gemara asks, what do I need this second case for? Hosu Lamali, Hainu Hach. This is the same as we saw in case number one. Notice in our markings we have diamonds. In addition to the diamonded name, we have a Roman numeral 1 and number 2 in diamonds as well. So the Gemara answers, Horoivea es hatrefa, that was case number 2, Roman numeral number 2, case Aleph. It's the Richole, that case we needed, where we said a healthy person had homosexual relations with a trefa. Mahu detema, one might have thought, and by the way, before we go further, what was the result in Horoive as a trefa? We said that the man who had these homosexual relations is subject to capital punishment. Without Rava's teaching, I might have thought otherwise. That's what the Gemara explains now. Mahu detema, Leheve keman de meshamish meis v'liftar. One might have thought that this action would be parallel to having sexual relations with a corpse, being that we're classifying the trefa as legally dead. Maybe we would go all the way with the analogy and say that it would be tantamount to someone having sex with a corpse, and that we know is one is exempt. Komash malon de mishum hanohu v'isle hanoh. The revelation here is that the penalty is born because of the pleasure one has, and the male who had these homosexual relations with the trefa did experience physical pleasure. This is as opposed to relations with a corpse, which essentially is a cold entity, and hence the level of hana is less, and that's why there is no penalty. As opposed to this case, where though the partner was a trefa, nevertheless, the healthy person having relations with him experienced the same level of hana, of pleasure, that he would have had under any other circumstance with these forbidden relations with a healthy person. The Omar Rava. Edim Sheidu Betrefa. The Huzmu Eina Herogin. Witnesses who testified about a trefa as having committed an offense that's chayev misa. Let us say that witnesses testified about someone as having violated a Shabbos precept. And then the witnesses that testified were found to be zoimim, and they were found to be lying because they were somewhere else at the same time that they claimed the event to have taken place. They are not to be killed, even though they were trying to apply a capital punishment to the defendant. Number Bays, the second example, Ede Trefa Shehuzmu, witnesses that themselves were not healthy individuals. They themselves were Trefa, and they were found to be lying. Neherogin, they are to be killed. The Pasuk says, Ubi arta hara mikirbecha. We saw this cited earlier, that one must get rid of the evil from our midst. We've included a triangled number one between the lines. This shows that this particular point is going to be accompanied by a dissenting opinion. And that we see now, Rav Ashi Omar Afilu Eidei Trefa Shuzmu Ein Neherogin. And at the point that the Gemara says Ein Neherogin, we've indicated number two. Why does Rav Ashi say that witnesses that themselves were Trefa are not to be killed? The fiend She'enon B'Zoimimei Zoimimin. Since we cannot apply to them the principle of them themselves, they themselves being subject to zomimei zomimim. How does this operate? So Rashi explains, the fisha einon bezomimei zomimim, bedin zomimei zomimim. They're not included, they wouldn't be included in the principle of this zomimei zomimim. Oisom shehezimum viomru lohem. Those that found them to be lying, in other words, we have an additional set of witnesses that found them to be lying, and they said about them, how could you, the first guys, testify when you were with us at the same time in another place? Imagine a third set of witnesses came along, umazimin oisam, and they would come and mazim and show the second set to be lying. Lomar, by saying, heich atem mazimim eselu, how can you, the second set, claim that the first set were lying? Vare atem, you, the second set, imonu heisim b'mokom ploni. Ein hazoimimim, skipping a moment, the brackets, Neherogin, the Zomimim, the second set, would not be subject to death. Let's read this line again. Ein hazomimim shenimsu achshav zomim. Namely, the second set, which is now found, just now found to be lying by the third set, they would not be neherogin. They wouldn't be killed. Mishum degavrok tela boi lemigdal. That second set were trying to kill the first set, which were trefa, which were already considered dead because of their imperfection. Hilkoch kilo itzimunami. Therefore, even in a case where they were not, the second set were not found to be lying by a third set, lo mikdali hanoch trefa apumaihu. The first set who were trefa could not be killed based on the testimony of the second set. Why? The havile edu shiatu cholazima. The testimony of the second set would be edus that you could not apply the kasher zoman principle to. Velo miktali, and would not be killed. Ula Rava, Rava who said that they would be killed, holds kevon di edus zomimim chidushu, since the edus of zomimim, this whole principle of kasher zomim itself is a novel idea. Afagav de have edus shiatoch lazima, even though the testimony of the second set, when they were coming to testify about the first set that were trefa, nevertheless miktali, the first set would be subject to being killed, because according to Rava, we don't extend the principle of kasher zomim all the way to the second set of witnesses as well. Continuing in the Gemara, V'omar Rava, Edim, let's reread this, V'omar Rava, Shor, this is Rava, Roman numeral number 4, Shor, Trefa, Shahorag, Chayav. A shor, an animal that itself, literally an ox, that itself is a trefa, that killed someone, killed a person. Chayav, it is subject to be executed. The shor shel odom trefa shaharag, an ox owned by a person, the owner himself was a trefa, and the animal killed someone, potter, the animal will be exempt from capital penalty. From capital punishment. My taimo, why is it that if the owner of the animal was a trefa, is the animal exempt? Omar kro, hashor isokel, vegam be'olov yumos. The pasuk says that the animal who is a murderous creature is to be stoned, and the expression that follows is vegam be'olov yumos, which literally means, and the owners also die, but we know that the owners don't physically are not physically killed, but nevertheless this phrase is here to express the following novel idea. Kol hecha de karina bay the gambol of yumas, wherever we could in theory apply the owner shall die, shall be executed, karinon bay hashor yisokel, then we can apply the principle of the capital punishment to the animal. However, where we could not carry out the capital punishment on the owner, for example, in Roman numeral number 1 above, in Rava, the first Rava case, the second halacha involved a case of Shalom Bifnei Bezdin, and we saw there that the Trefa could not be killed because he was already considered dead. Let's be a little more specific in our markings. In Rava, Roman numeral number 1, case Bays, number 2, case Bays, there was Trefa Shaharag, and the subsection number 2 was where a treifa committed murder, shelo b'fnei beis din. We said that he's potter because the principle of eidu shi'ato chalazima would kick in, would apply. Hence, over here, if the owner himself was a treifa, he would not be subject to the capital punishment if he were a treifa. So too, the animal owned by such a person is not going to be subject to the capital punishment. That's what the Gemara says here. We'll read it again. Wherever we could not apply the capital punishment to the owner, lo karinon bay hashor yisokel. We will not be able to apply capital punishment to the animal either. Rav Ashi disagrees, and hence we've used a house with a number 2 inside of it to indicate a dissenting opinion to what was mentioned above by Rava, where you saw also a little 1 that was in a house marking. Ravashi says, Afilu shor trefa nami shahorag equals potter. Ravashi is disagreeing with Rava's opening halacha, where you had a shor that itself was a trefa that killed. Rav Ashi says, potter, the animal is exempt, is spared of a capital punishment. Mai taima. Why does Rav Ashi hold that where the animal itself that committed the murder is a treifa, is it exempt? Kivon, the ilu bailum havuptiri, if the owner was this of the same nature, shor nami potter, the animal, the equivalent in the animal form, is also exempt. So, according to Rav Ashi, not only is the case of an animal owned by a treifa to be exempt, but if the animal itself is a treifa, it will also be exempt. Shisa boy es hakelev, or hishich boy es hanochosh, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev v'chachomim potrin. The case featured that the Gemara will be focusing on is a case where a person took a venomous creature, let us just say, for example purposes, a snake, assuming that nochosh could be translated as snake. Someone took a snake, a venomous type snake, and put its fangs into the skin of a victim. Is the person that put the snake's fangs into someone's skin guilty of murder? So in the Mishnah we saw a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda holds, yes, he is guilty, and the Chachamim say he's exempt. When you look into these particular shitas, you discover the following physical difference or issue between them. Omar of Acho Bar Yankov, Kishitimtsa Lomar Ludiv Rabbi Yehuda, when you analyze Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that said that the mashich is chayev, the person who inserted the fangs into the victim's skin is guilty of murder. Eres nochosh bein shinov hu omed, the snake's venom is already there in its teeth, in its fangs. The fikoch makish chayev, being that the venom is already there, and as a result of that, it's not necessary for the snake itself to inject the venom any further. The person is considered is subject to capital punishment because he delivered the death blow, so to speak. The nochosh poter, and the snake itself will not be executed. The divrei chachomim that exempt the mashich, you will understand by looking into that particular opinion that eres nochosh me'atzma humeki, the venom that is responsible for the victim's death is a function of the snake injecting it. Lefikoch nochosh beskila, therefore the nochosh is subject to being stoned. V'hamakish poter, and the person that did this act, he himself did not. Is not responsible for the death blow, so to speak, and therefore he will be exempt, because the venom that killed the person was not there at the time that the person inserted the snake's fangs into the victim's skin. Hamake es chaveroi, bein be'evin, bein be'egroif. Person who beats his friend, whether it be with a stone or his fist. The Amduhu Lamisa, and the experts estimated that that would have been capable of killing the victim. The Hekomi Mashahoya, and in the course of the recuperation process, or the convalescence period, the victim developed signs of improvement. Ulachar mikan hichbid umes, but after that, as time went on, he didn't experience full recovery, and rather took a turn for the worse and died. Chayov, according to the first opinion, the original attacker is guilty of a capital offense. Rabbi Nechemya Oimer Potter. Rabbi Nechemya exempts the original attacker from capital punishment. Sheraglayim Lodovar. There is reason to think that the death of the victim is not a result of the original blow. And that's as a result, and that we can see, according to Rabbi Nechemya, by the fact that there had been some improvement in the convalescence period before the person actually died. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and before we go on in the Gemara, let us just look at the topic heading that we've assigned to this particular sugya. Machloikis Tanoim. Ma dinoi shel hamake es chaveroi. What is the halacha with regard to someone who hits his friend? Umatzev hamuke ishtane, and the situation of the victim changed. Kegon shoy oimed lemisa vehekal. For example, where there was an estimation made that the victim would die, but he developed signs of improvement. The achar kachich bidumes, and afterwards he took a turn for the worse and eventually died. So we already saw this featured in the Mishnah. Now we have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Nechemya's opinion will be featured. After this source on Amud Beis, the Gemara will then turn to the Rabbanan and inquires to what they do with Rabbi Nechemya's scriptural source. Ezu Dorash Rabbi Nechemya. The following pasuk was explained by Rabbi Nechemya. Im yokum v'hishalech b'chutz al mishantoi. First, we'll provide a more or less literal translation. If the victim, after being beaten, gets up and walks outside on his mishanto, on his walking stick, but he seems to have pretty much recovered, the attacker will be exonerated, be cleansed, and hence not subject to capital punishment. Now, on the surface of things, this pasuk is saying, if someone attacked a victim, and the victim did not die, so the attacker is exempt. So, would you have thought otherwise without this pasuk? Would you have thought that maybe the attacker would be killed anyway? Would it have occurred to anyone that this one, the victim, is walking in the market, is walking in public, v'zeh neherag, and the attacker would be executed? That, of course, is not, couldn't be entertained as a possibility. So what's the pasuk telling us, Ella? Zeh, this case, is she'amduhu lemisa, where the victim was estimated to actually have died from the original attack. V'heikel mima shehoya. And he experienced or demonstrated signs of improvement. Ulachar kach hichbiru meis, and afterwards he took a turn for the worse and eventually died. Shehu poter, the attacker, even then, will be exempt. So when the pasuk features v'nikla makeh, it's telling us a chiddush, that even though the original attack was of a deathly nature, and even though the victim died, since in the interim there were signs of improvement, the attacker is exempt. The Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Nechemya say that in that case, the attacker is subject to being executed. What do they learn from the expression in the pasuk that says that the attacker is innocent? The Gemara answers, Malamed Shechoivshin Oisai. This tells us that we incarcerate the attacker if there was a calculation made, an estimation made, that the victim would die. We incarcerate the attacker until we see what happens to the victim. The topic heading we've assigned to this Gemara is as follows. You can see this in the margin. The Nose, Machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy. Sugim Shonim Shel Umdina, the Oimdim Es Hamuka. The Tanaic controversy concerning different cases of estimation that or evaluation that are made concerning a victim. The Rashi says on the first narrow line, V'rabonon, hai v'niko amake, melamed shechoshin oso, teaches us that he's incarcerated. Im omduhu l'misa, if the victim was estimated to have died from the blow, choshin es amake, we bind, we incarcerate, we jail the attacker, shelo yivrach, that he shouldn't escape, ad shenira im yamus imlav, until we see whether the victim will die or not. Lahachi osi v'niko amake, and therefore the pasuk comes along to tell me v'niko amake de mashma, which it sounds like it's saying l'kshi yakum v'niko, that when he gets better, then there is exemption. Mechlal da'ad hashta, this implies that until the point he actually gets better, chavushu, that the attacker is incarcerated. Continuing in the Gemara, V'Rabbi Nechemya, Chavisha Minole, where does Rabbi Nechemya learn the principle of restraint or of incarceration? Yalif Mimakoshesh. He learns from another source. The source is featured in the Chumash concerning the Mekoshesh Eitzim in Sefer Bamidbar. This is a person who was engaged in a Shabbos violation, and the pasuk there says, "Vayanichu oisei b'mishmar," that he was incarcerated. The note we have on the side, the structural note that comes to explain the triangle that we see right now, says that the triangles are makoros l'chavisha, sources, possible sources for incarceration, b'beis ha'asurim, in a jail, ad shiyisbor hadin, until things would be clarified. So we see from the parsha of Mekoshesh that there was a form of incarceration for someone guilty of a capital offense. Rabbonon nami lufi mi Mekoshesh. Why don't the Rabbonon learn from that parsha? The answer is Mekoshesh bar kaplahu. The Mekoshesh was known already before he actually committed the act itself, but he was known to be the Mekoshesh who is guilty of a Shabbos violation. Shabbos violation is something known to be classified as guilty of capital punishment. Umoshe lo have yoda katle b'mai. In the Parsha in the Torah, simply Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what form of execution to carry out on the Mekoshesh. So there the incarceration was of someone whom we knew was already, at the point he violated the Shabbos, it was known he would be subject to a death penalty. Why was he incarcerated? He was incarcerated only to keep him bound until Moshe found out what kind of death penalty is carried out. La'afuke hai, to the exception of this case, to the exclusion of this case of makes chaveroi, someone who attacked his friend, the lo yadinon e bar katlohu e lav bar katlohu. Here, we don't know if this attacker is subject at all to a death penalty. So I can't learn from a case where I knew the person after the act was subject to a death penalty, and the havisha, the incarceration, was only for clarification of what kind of death penalty, to our case where I don't even know if he's subject to any death penalty whatsoever. For Rabbi Nehemiah, well, according to Rabbi Nehemiah, who we thought learned from a koshesh, we see that it's different from our case. Where will he learn incarceration from, being that he cannot learn from v'niko hamake that we saw above? The Gemara says, Yolif mi megadef delo have yoda I bar katlahu v'chavshuhu. The case of megadef was a person who was guilty of a particular offense in the realm of blaspheming, and in that case, it wasn't known whether Megiduf is subject to any capital punishment whatsoever. Similar to our attacker, that we don't know, at the point that he attacks, we don't know if he's guilty of a capital punishment whatsoever. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who did not learn incarceration from Megadef, why not? Megadef equals Hiruas Shoh Hoysa. The case of Megadef was a non-precedent setting event. It was a momentary ruling, and hence I cannot learn from it. It's it being different than the case of Make es Chavero in that particular sense. Rashi explains Hiruas Shoh Hoysa Eloi Kosav Chavisha Dehacha. Had Chavisha not been written in the case of attacking the attacking person, Mechavisha the Hosam, from the incarceration in the Parsha of Megadef, Lo Habe Gamrinon, I would not have been able to derive this principle of incarceration for the attacker. Why not? The case of Megadef was a momentary ruling. Sharei Loi Nitztava Mitchila Al Oisa Chavisha. There was no initial command concerning that that binding, that jailing. Ume Atzmam Asu. They jailed him on their own. The Kevon Delo Nemar Boy Miso Mitchila. Since concerning Megadef, there was no initial indication that it was a capital offense. Ma Sofek Hoyolahem Lahatil Olov Sofek Miso. What doubt did they have to think that maybe he was subject to a death penalty, ulechovsho, and hence to incarcerate him, as opposed to the case of an attacker where there is a suffix misa? In other words, if there had been actual murder, immediate murder, then we knew that the attacker would be chayev a capital punishment. Hence, he is not parallel to the Megadef, where there was no suffix misa at the outset. Continuing in the Gemara, Kedesanya, we have a Tanaic source that shows that there was a difference between the case of Mekoshesh and the case of Megadef. The source says, Yodea hoya Moshe Rabbeinu shamakoshesh b'misa. Moshe knew that the Mekoshesh, being a Shabbos violator, was subject to a death penalty. Shenemar, regarding Shabbos, it says, Mechaleha Moisimos, that he who violates Shabbos is to be executed. Elolohoyo Yodea be'eza misa neherag. Moshe Rabbeinu simply didn't know which one of the methods of execution is to be carried out here. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, in the case of the Mekoshesh, Kiloi Purash. Ma ye ose lo. It wasn't explained to him what should be done. Avol Megadef, but in contrast to the Mekoshesh, you see the Megadef. Notice with our markings we've featured with a double underline Mekoshesh and Megadef to make them stand out in the source. However, the case of the Megadef, lo ne'emar boi, elo lefareish lohem al pi Hashem. The Rashi points out that in this pasuk, it doesn't say ma ye'aseh. Rashi says here lifrosh lohem, v'lo kosuv ma ye'aseh. The mashma kol dino hoyu tzrichim lefaresh lohem. which indicates that his entire halacha was unclear. Not just a detail, but the entire halacha was unclear, including whether he was subject to a death penalty to begin with. The Gemara goes on in the Brisa, Shelohoya Moshe Yodea im hu ben misa kol ikur im lav. And that's the end of the Tanaic source, where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know whether he was subject to a capital punishment whatsoever or not. And as we said before, that this is in contrast to, according to the Rabbanan, this is in contrast to a potential murderer, where we know that the realm of murder, as opposed to Megadeth, the realm of murder is subject to a capital punishment. Bishlamo le Rebbe Nechemya, Hainu Dichtivi Tre Umdini. According to Rabbi Nechemya, I can understand why there is a reference in the Torah to two cases of estimation. One pasuk indicates velo yomus, and another pasuk says im yakum v'hisalech b'chutz. These are two im umdinos that are referred to. And these are found in the Psukim in the Torah in Sefer Shmos, Perek Chof Aleph, Psukim Yudches and Yudtes. So there's a reference to two estimations, evaluations concerning the attacker. Chad, one case is Omduhu Lemisa V'choya, where we estimated that the victim would die and he ended up living. V'chad Omduhu Lemisa the Hekal Mima Shehoya. The other case is the case we saw above, where there was an estimation that the victim would die. There was improvement in the interim, even though later the victim died, we nevertheless exempt the attacker. So we can account for two umdinas, both cases resulting in exemption for the attacker. Elo the Rabbonon. However, the Rabbonon that hold that in case number two there is guilt. Tre umdini lomali. What is the purpose of the Torah referring to two evaluations that would result in exemption? Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just point out that we've assigned a title heading to this sugya, Machlokes Chachamim v'Rabbi Nechemya. We see here a controversy between these two authorities regarding Bishnei Umdini Dechsivi B'Torah, regarding the need for having two references to evaluations. B'kesher Lemi Shehika Es Chavero V'Nofa Lemishkov. These two evaluations are in the case of someone being attacked and the victim falling to the bed, to being hospitalized. So we have these two evaluations that we have to account for. According to Rabbi Nechemya, the two evaluations that we said above result in exemption can be explained by the case of Amdu Lemisa V'Choya, or the case of Amdu Lemisa V'Hakel Mimashoya. According to the Rabbana, though, what do I need the two cases for? What do I need two evaluations for? Chad, one, Amduhu Lemisa V'Choya, like Rabbi Nechemya, where there was an evaluation made that this attack would have resulted in death, but the victim got better. V'chad, Amduhu L'chaim Umeis. Another case of exemption would be where there was an evaluation made that the person would not die from this attack, and eventually he did die nevertheless. V'Rebbe Nechemya, what does he say about that? Amdu l'chaim umeis lo tzorech kra. Case where someone attacked with a rather minor attack, and the victim nevertheless died, doesn't need a posuk to show exemption. Shere yotzami based in Zakai, the attacker initially left court in a state of innocence. In other words, if they evaluated that the attack was of a minor nature, at that point the attacker is viewed or ruled upon as innocent. So there is no havamina that the attacker should be subject to a death penalty, that the Torah has to come and tell me that he is innocent. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. Hamake es chaveroi v'amdu l'misa v'choya. A person attacks someone, as they estimated that the victim would die, but he lived. Poitrin oisoi. We exempt the attacker from a death penalty, even though the initial attack was of a deathly nature. And being that he's exempt from a death penalty, he'll pay the five forms of payment made in the case of damages. Nezek, Tsar, Sheves, Ripui, and Boishes. Number two, Omduhu Lemisa, Vehekim Limashoya. If a person was estimated to die from the blow and he showed signs of improvement, Oimdun Oisoi Oimed Sheni Lemomon. A second evaluation is made regarding the financial payments that would be necessary. V'im la'achar kein hichbid umeis. If afterwards the victim died, haloch achar oimed ha'emtsoi, divrei Rabbi Nechemya. We will follow the second evaluation that was made, which means that there is nevertheless a financial payment that's made. And why is that? Because there is no capital punishment to be carried out. We say in general that if one is subject to the capital punishment to being executed, so there is no financial payment made in addition. Therefore, according to Rabbi Nechemya, that exempts a person under these circumstances, exempts the attacker from a capital punishment. There is room for the financial payment to be made. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim in viewing this last case, hold Ein Oimed Achar Oimed. There is no second evaluation to be considered. And as a result, that is a result of their opinion that holds the attacker is chayav a capital punishment. Tanya Idoch, we have another Tanaic source. Omduhu lemisa, omdin oso lechayim. If there was an evaluation made that the victim would die, and we see that there is an improvement in his condition, we make a second evaluation. And we do not say that since there was an initial evaluation of death, that the attacker is considered subject to a capital punishment. By saying this, that even though there was an initial oimed lemisa, there is still room for an additional oimed to be made, we see that there is exemption from a capital offense because there had been improvement in the interim. We will see later on that this source, even though there is no name in it, reflects the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. Continuing, L'chaim, if there was an omed made, indicating an evaluation made that the victim would live, Ein oimden oisoi lemisa. We don't subject this case to a second omed of death, meaning that once he is yotzei mibeis din zakai, once he received once the attacker received a ruling of innocence, even though the victim dies, we do not hold the attacker responsible. Rashi points out here, lechayim ein omden oso lemisa, lomar, to suggest to'inu bo'imid rishon, that we made a mistake in our first evaluation, ulechayvoi lozeh, and as a result of the mistake, we'll now hold the attacker responsible. Why don't we say that? Sherei lo yotsumi beizin zakai, because he exited beizin in a state of innocence. V'amrinon, and we figure, machmas choyli acher shibolov ichbido hamaka, as a result of some outside ailment, the original light attack turned into something deathly. Continuing in the source, Amduhu Lemisa. There was an initial evaluation that suggested he would have died. V'hokeo mimashahoya, and he got better, or he showed signs of improvement. Omdin oisoimet sheni lemamon. We make a second evaluation that would be of a financial nature. V'im la'achar kein hichbiru meis, and if afterwards he took a turn for the worse and died, mishalem nezek v'tzar liyorshim, he makes the financial payments to the heirs. Rashi points out that in addition to the nezek and tzar payments, there are also the other three payments are to be understood as well, ripui, shevis, and boishes. And in order to say that payments are made, we're also in effect saying that he would be exempt from, the attacker is exempt from the death penalty. Me'emosai mishalem. From what point is the payment to be made? Mishal shiko. From the point that he was initially attacked. The Rashi points out here, Emosai mishalem, klomar me'ezes shaw oimdim oisoi kishahokel. From what point in time do we make the estimation when we see that the fellow took a turn for the better? Mishal shiko, Rashi goes on, oimdim kamahoya yofa koidim hako, we evaluate how much was this person worth before the attack, the kamahoya yofa achar hako, and how much is he worth after the attack? For lo amrinon, and we don't say hoyo viad hashto lo amdinon le elu lamisa, that since until now we thought that he was going to die, v'hashto hu the amdinon le lamamon, and now when we see him taking a turn for the better, we make an evaluation for financial payment. Namde kidekoi hashto, let us make our estimation as he is now, vare hukal, and well, he's taking a turn for the better. Umafsedinon le lanizek. As a result of evaluating him based on his condition right now, when he's simply taking a turn for the better, the value that the amount that would be entitled to him is far less than what we are saying you do say. Namely, we evaluate how much he was worth before the attack altogether, because otherwise, umafsedinon le lanizek, there would be a loss to the victim. The Gemara concludes by saying, Ustamo k'Rebbe Nechemya. This unnamed source works out like Rebbe Nechemya, that said that in a case where there was an oimid lemisa and hukel, there was a hakola, there was a turn for the better, even though eventually he died, there is still no death penalty, and yes, room for financial payment. This follows the opinion of Rebbe Nechemya. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.